Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 15, text, Yoga of the Supreme Person, text 15. Savasya jaham riti sanavishto. Mataksmritir jnanam aponam cha. Vedaischa savaraham eva vedya. Vedantakrit vedavit eva chaham. Sarvasya, of all living beings, cha and aham, I, riddhi, in the heart, sanavishta, situated, mataha, from me, smriti, remembrance, jnanam, knowledge, apohanam, forgetfulness, cha and Vedai by the Vedas, cha also sarvai all aham I am eva certainly Vedya knowable Vedanta Krit the compiler of the Vedanta Vedavid the knower of the Vedas, eva, certainly, cha, and, aham, I. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I am seated in everyone's heart, and for me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, I am the knower of the Vedas. Purport. The Supreme Lord is situated as Paramatma in everyone's heart, and it is from him that all activities are initiated. The living entity forgets everything of his past life, but he has to act according to the direction of the Supreme Lord, who is witness of all his work. Therefore, he begins his work according to his past deeds. Required knowledge is supplied to him, and remembrance is given to him, and he forgets also about his past life. Thus the Lord is not only all-pervading, he is also localized in every individual heart. He was the different fruit of results. He is worshipable not only as the impersonal Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the localized Paramatma, but as the form of the incarnation of the Vedas as well. The Vedas give the right direction to people so that they can properly mold their lives, come back to Godhead, back to home. The Vedas offer knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and Krishna in his incarnation as Vaidavyas is the compiler of the Vedanta Sutra. The commentation on the Vedanta Sutra by Vyasadeva in the Srimad Bhagavatam gives the real understanding of the Vedanta Sutra. The Supreme Lord is so full that for the deliverance of the conditioned soul, he is the supplier and digester of foodstuff, the witness of his activity, and the giver of knowledge in the form of Vedas. And as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the teacher of the Bhagavad Gita, he is worshipable by the conditioned soul. Thus God is all good, God is all merciful. Antak pravishtak shasta jnanam jananam. Living entity forgets as soon as he quits his present body, but he begins his work again, initiated by the Supreme Lord. Although he forgets, the Lord gives him the intelligence to renew his work where he ended his last life. So not only does the living entity enjoy or suffer in this world, according to the dictation from the Supreme Lord, situated locally in the heart, but he receives the opportunity to understand the Vedas from him. If one is serious about understanding Vedic knowledge, then Krishna gives the required intelligence. Why does he present the Vedic knowledge for understanding? Because the living entity individually needs to understand Krishna. Vedic knowledge confirms this. Yoso sarvai vedai giyate. In all Vedic literature, beginning from the four Vedas, Vedanta Sutra, and the Upanishads and Puranas, the glories of the Supreme Lord are celebrated. By performance of Vedic rituals, discussion of the Vedas, philosophy, and worship of the Lord in devotion. By performance of Vedic rituals, discussion of the Vedic philosophy, and worship of the Lord in devotional service, he is attained. Therefore, the purpose of the Vedas is to understand Krishna. The Vedas give us direction by which to understand Krishna and the process of realizing him. The ultimate goal is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedanta Sutra 1.4 confirms this in the following verse, the following words. Tat tu samanvayat. One can attain perfection in three stages. By understanding Vedic literature, one can understand his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By performing the different processes, one can approach him. And at the end, one can attain the supreme goal, who is no other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this verse, the purpose of the Vedas, the understanding of the Vedas, and the goal of the Vedas are clearly defined. Savasya chaham ridhi sanavishto mataksmritira jnanam aponam cha vedaisha savaraham eva vedya vedanta krid vedavit eva chaham. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatunde Ve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyadhyade Satarane. Krishna says here that from him comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So every living entity has remembrance, every living entity has forgetfulness, and every living entity has remembrance. So for the devotee, Krishna helps the devotee remember him and forget Maya, and he gives the intelligence to do that. And for the non-devotee, Krishna helps the non-devotee forget him, so he never has to think about Krishna. And he helps the non-devotee remember everything except for Krishna. And he gives him all kinds of knowledge to help him do that. Now the point is that Krishna is always helping all living entities. And therefore in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 2 is called Lord in the Heart, text number 35. Do we have the second canto here? We have our trustee. Anyhow, we have the all-pervading smartphone for stupid people. It's all right. We have our trusty smartphone. Everything is contained. From the smartphone comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So we look at the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, second chapter, the Law in the Heart, and we go to text 35. And it says, Bhagavan Sarabhuteshu. That means Bhagavan, Krishna, is in everyone's heart. And none of us are excluded. We don't have to feel left out. I look around and see Krishna is in everyone's heart except for mine. Somehow or another I lost him somewhere. No, Krishna is in everyone's heart. Lakshita Sarvatma Hari. And he has symptoms. It's not that he can't be perceived. He has symptoms by which he can be perceived. Drishtai Adibudreshta. And how we do it is we can see with our intelligence. Lakshanar Anumapakai. Personality of Godhead. Krishna is in every living being along with the individual soul. This fact is perceived and hypothesized in our acts of seeing and taking help from the intelligence. So we can see how Krishna is present if we use our intelligence. Now the first step in that using that intelligence is to understand that all the material nature that we see is made out of the five basic elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And as I said, these elements are not just a cloud of earth or some air passing by. These are the principles by which the material nature is functioning. Solidity, cohesion, transformation, movement, and being contained. So all the varieties of the energies that we see around us are either solid, seemingly solid, or they're moving, or they're transforming, or they're holding. And these come in a variety of colors and shapes and whatever else. But basically speaking, we can understand something, water is present by its cohesive property, and fire is present by its warmth and its transformation, its ability to transform. So radiation, electricity, these are all part of the fire elements. Similarly, water elements includes all the different kinds of liquids, even mercury is considered partially solid and partially liquid. Similarly, solid things are things that don't generally seem to be moving. And air is everything that we don't see the air, but we experience it by movement. We can see the leaves on the tree moving, therefore we know the air is moving them. They're not just moving by themselves. And everything has to be contained in something, so that's ether. And we understand that everything that we see and perceive is nothing but the innumerable combination and permutations of the natural energy that we're perceiving. Now even our own body is made out of the same natural elements. When we leave the body, then it goes back into all the different elements from which it came. But the person who is perceiving all this, both the natural elements and his own body, is different from what he's perceiving. Therefore, we don't say I hand, we say my hand. There's no difference between the composition of the body that we're in and all the other natural elements. The difference is that when the soul is in the body, the soul has some consciousness. And therefore, he perceives the body and he perceives through the senses. Now we arrive at this conclusion by using our intelligence, but intelligence is being supplied to us. Or before that, Prabhupada says, trust no future, however pleasant, idle talks about matter evolving into spirit are just so much speculation. Nowhere we see matter evolving into spirit. We only find that matter seems to be animated when there's a spirit present, when there's someone who's conscious. We never see a pillow evolving into a table, thinking I'm on the floor all the time, I want to rise up and become a table. Pillow's completely happy being on the floor. It likes the association of the devotees, especially when a devotee is on a pillow, it keeps it warm. And maybe a little pillow will hatch after some time. No, the pillow is not conscious. It's only the living entities within these bodies that are conscious. And when the living entity leaves the body, it's unconscious. But the living entity is understanding these things with the help of intelligence. And every living entity has his intelligence. And intelligence is being supplied to the living entity, just like the father instructs the son, or the teacher instructs the student. So even a little ant walking on the floor is also being supplied with intelligence. It also, through its senses, can figure out where sugar is. And if there's any maha, it could probably find the maha way before we can. So it also has intelligence. Krishna is supplying, or the super soul is supplying the little ant with intelligence, just like he's supplying us with intelligence. His body is made out of the same elements that our body is made out of, and he's getting intelligence too. But the form of his intelligence that he's being given is cannot perceive beyond a certain, he's limited to the kind of senses he's situated into. Therefore, although some senses are stronger than ours, others aren't. And the level of intelligence he's being supplied is different. So we may think, well, if I was an ant, if I tried real hard, I could maybe think really intelligently. But actually, intelligence is being supplied to us. It's not something that we're innately manifesting due to our nature. It's something that's supplied to us in conditioned life. And that's about as much as our intelligence, the spirit soul's intelligence, is able to perceive. In other words, our intelligence only manifests in the material world in proportion to the intelligence that Krishna gives us. Krishna doesn't give us intelligence, we don't have intelligence. And Krishna is giving us intelligence according to what we deserve and what we desire. And therefore, if Krishna doesn't give me intelligence, I may try and touch my ear. And it's a little, I may go like that because I don't know how to do it. But if Krishna gives me intelligence, then I can do it like that. So it depends on what kind of intelligence Krishna is giving me. Some people, Krishna doesn't give them the intelligence because they, for one reason or another, and they try to go like that. So every living entity is dependent on the super soul supplying intelligence, and sometimes according to what one deserves and desires, Krishna gives all kinds of different intelligence. Therefore, our actual free will consists of either orientating our desires towards the ignorant misconception of identifying ourselves with these gross and subtle bodies, and therefore Krishna will give us, supply us intelligence accordingly, so that we forget who we are and we simply become involved in trying to satisfy whatever dictation arises out of the material mind and senses due to our conditioned nature. Or orientating our desires towards the true conception that we're eternal souls and therefore getting information from Krishna, from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra by which we can desire to fulfill Krishna's desires. That's called devotional service. And as much as we desire to serve Krishna's desires, then Krishna gives us that intelligence and reveals himself proportionally. Now, in this investigation, we have three things. We have the soul, ourselves. We have the supreme soul. And then we have the material nature. Now, the soul and the super soul are both conscious, and the material nature is unconscious. And the soul is conscious to different degrees. But we can't expect that the super soul, the supreme conscious person, who's in all living entities' hearts, from the ant to the tree, to the human beings, to the demigods, that his only business is supplying, to fulfilling the desires of the infinitesimal conditioned souls. That according to the Bhagavad Gita, he has his abode in the spiritual world where he enjoys with his ever-liberated soul, associates. And therefore Bhagavad Gita says, Bhavanam janmanamante, gyanamamam prapadyate, vasudeva sarvamiti, saramahatma sudurlabha. After passing through many births and deaths, one who is actually acknowledged surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is, such a great soul is very rare. So as explains in this verse, the whole purpose of the Vedas is to bring us to the point to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we should surrender to his instructions so that he'll reveal himself to us and we can go back to the spiritual world. Otherwise, we'll simply be put into different species of life, and Krishna will supply us intelligence how to act like a dog, how to act like a cat, or a hog, or a bird, or a tree. Krishna will give us that intelligence if that's what we want. And then we'll enjoy life, so-called, as a tree, as a demigod, as a bird, as a beast, as a bug. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Okay, Maharaj, thank you. As you mentioned, according to the body, like the ant has, it has a specific intelligence for this.
It's being supplied a specific intelligence by Krishna.
By Krishna.
There's a certain number, the ant also has a mind, and the mind will have a certain amount of desires flowing through it. And Krishna, the ant will desire to fulfill those desires, because that's his whole realm of experience. And Krishna will give the intelligence.
And so, according to the sense, if someone purifies his senses, does intelligence also get purified? Or if he strengthens intelligence, he can purify the senses?
Spiritual intelligence means connect our desires with Krishna's desires. Connect our consciousness with Krishna's consciousness. Then the mind, the intelligence, and the senses automatically become purified. That's called Buddha Yoga. But if we try to purify our senses through Karma Yoga, by doing dutiful action, or by Jnana Yoga, or intellectually and by Astanga Yoga, that's only the lower ones who should already have been purified. But those processes aim at specifically purifying either the mind, the intelligence, or the senses. But not necessarily all of them. But only really pure one. But as long as one is not fixed in Krishna consciousness, then the intelligence will be impure. We may find out who we're not, but if we don't know who we are, then our intelligence is impure.
It's not spiritual, it's material, that's why it's impure.
Well, if you don't know who you are, you're obviously in the material. That's what material energy means.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's all spiritual energy, but this material nature is just helping us forget who we are and who Krishna is.
I have one more question.
Okay.
I was thinking about about how mind transforms from material to spiritual. Can you, according to your experience, or I don't know, about how this happens, like this material mind?
Well, you put the iron in fire, it's hotter and hotter and hotter, becomes like fire. So Krishna says the living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. The senses, the mind, the intelligence, covered by lust, which veils the real nature of the living entity and bewilders them. And then he said, well, Krishna says you regulate the senses. And when you regulate the senses and you're able to fix the mind on Krishna, if Krishna appears, then lust, anger, greed, all these impurities, they get burnt away, just like the blazing fire turns firewood to ashes. So in the presence of Krishna, all the impurities get burnt away by ecstasy. It's the ecstatic love for Krishna that burns away all the impurities. Therefore, anyone who's experienced any ecstasy in Krishna consciousness, after that, you can look around, see, or you can see things more clearly. The senses become sharper. And then you also can more easily remember everyone and everything in relation to Krishna, become spontaneous. That you see things like that.
Okay. Sometimes at a public program, when I give a lecture to the audience, people have questions and I provide answer to the best of my knowledge. And I'm not quite happy with my answer. It's okay, but not very convincing. And then maybe 1, 2, or 3 hours after the event, a fantastic argument pops up in my mind. And then I'm wondering why Krishna didn't give me this knowledge and remembrance at the time when I was answering the question. So I can't understand this Krishna's workings. Why he didn't give me?
Well, here he is. You can ask him. I can't answer him.
Yeah.
But, you know, there may be many reasons why. Maybe Krishna didn't want to make you look too intelligent. Otherwise you would have come puffed up. Or maybe Krishna didn't think that these people deserved to hear the answer. Maybe they didn't want to hear the real answer. Maybe so many reasons, I don't know. But you have to ask specifically time. Maybe there's different reasons for different times. Only he knows, he can remember. So you have to get to the point you can ask him and then listen to him. Because he has good answers. Anything else?
So Maharaj, you said that people get results according to their desire and what they deserve.
Yeah.
So maybe with some exceptions, that basically people, you know, if I ask them, they don't want to get to the lower species, like becoming a dog or a hawk or something, you know. No, they do. So this is a subtle, they don't even know what they desire.
No, they know what they desire, but they desire the things that will qualify them to become a dog or a hog or an amoeba. They're doing those things. So they're not consciously thinking, let me become an amoeba, but they're doing the things that will qualify them to become an amoeba. Different human form of life, you're supposed to, you know, an opportunity to find out what you're going to do. Just like if you want to rent an apartment, you have to work. Now if you decide I'm not going to work so hard, I'm just going to, you know, get a small amount of money, then you get a small apartment. That's what you're desiring. By your work, you'll get what you deserve. So it's not like, I want a big apartment, but you got to work for it if you want a big apartment. Not just desire it. You have to work also. And if you work and you get a lot of money, and then you desire a small apartment, maybe you can get a small apartment, although you have a lot of extra money. You're just not utilizing it. Anything else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I have a question towards the Shastras and Vedic knowledge. Are there some offenses that we made towards Vedanta?
Vedanta. Have you ever read Vedanta? Vedanta, you probably don't even know what's in it.
I'm reading some of the books that Srila Prabhupada gave us and...
Anyhow, don't worry so much. Don't spend your whole time worrying about making offenses. Spend your time worrying about how to do things nicely for Krishna and his devotees. As far as offenses, just coming into the material world was an offense. And after that, everything we did was wrong. So at least now we're trying to do something right. Knowing, just like if a criminal's in the jail, and he's thinking that, you know, how did I ever get here? I must have done, you know, I couldn't have done anything wrong. No, just the fact that you're in a jail means that you're a criminal. So now we have to do things that will get us out of the jail. Not worrying about, you know, every little offense that we make. We don't even know what we're doing. First of all, the first thing is we don't even know that we're not the doer. That in itself is an offense. So let's do something for Krishna, and then gradually Krishna will recognize we're trying to do things nicely. But the best thing is, this like offense is called aparad. Doing things that Srimati Radharani wouldn't like. That's what aparada is, Srimati Radharani. Aparada, apa against Srimati Radharani. So do something for her that will please her, and then you won't be offending anymore. Otherwise, everything is an offense.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you. Yes.
Maharaj, we get mind and intelligence when we enter this, or I don't know what, like general elements are formed sequentially. So first is the mind as a product of sattva gun, then intelligence as product of mode of passion. So what that means that if in sattva we don't need an intelligence, or I mean, or
well, that's just general creation. It doesn't mean that you all intelligence is in the mode of passion, but the impetus behind creation that forms it, is intelligence, the mode of passion. Passion means you want to accomplish something. So the intelligence that was necessary to form the creation was formed out of passion. Otherwise, if the intelligence is in the mode of goodness, we would have sought out Krishna consciousness, and there wouldn't have been a creation. But the mind by nature, originally is in the mode of goodness, because it's not, well, it's actually in Kali Yuga, it's in the mode of ignorance. When we're born into ignorance. But it's neutral. Just like when air passes through a rose garden, it can smell like roses, but if it passes through garbage, it smells like garbage. So the air is neutral, but due to association, it takes on different smells, aromas. So the mind by nature is neutral. Only due to association, it appears to be in goodness, passion, or ignorance. And neutral means goodness. It's due to the common association with ignorance and passion, then it appears to be ignorance and passion. Otherwise, then it's by nature and goodness. Okay. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.